Okay, we're good.
Okay. Welcome, this is Parks and Recreation Advisory Board meeting for Thursday, February 13th, 2020. So hopefully you're in the right place. We'll begin by going around the table and doing a brief introduction. Please identify yourself. I'm Stacy Epstein, Chair.
I'm Mary Baumgartner, new member.
We're going to come back to you, Mary.
Okay.
Sarah Silvernail, Board Member in the Bolton neighborhood.
Tom Meyer, guest, Westland Pickleball President and the Vice President of the Parker Crest Neighborhood Association.
I'm Marla Gerenstrom, and I'm a Bolton neighborhood member.
I'm Alma Costin. I was on the Parks Board from about 2000 to 2005, and then left the Parks Board to be an advocate for Maddox Woods, which I am part of now, and in the Bolton neighborhood.
I'm Ed Schwartz, President of Savannah Oaks Neighborhood Association.
John Lindman, Board Member, and I work at Marius Young on Mondays and Wednesdays.
Ken Warner, Parks and Recreation.
Steve Goldwyn, Board Member.
Jules Walter, City Councilor, Alternate Liaison to the Parks and Rec Advisory Board.
And I'm Roger Wool, guest.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you for coming. So I'd like to welcome back Sarah Silvernail. I'm so pleased you were reappointed, and we're glad you're back with us. You sure have a lot of institutional wisdom around this committee, so that's good and helpful. And I'd like to take 1 minute to let Mary maybe introduce herself to us and tell us a little bit about her background and her interest.
Okay. Mary Baumgartner. I currently live in the Willamette neighborhood, and I also am on going on my second year of the Transportation Advisory Board, and just came off serving a year on the Sustainability Advisory Board. I grew up in West Lynn, went to West Lynn schools, and have enjoyed a lot of parks activities myself, and most recently was working as an instructional assistant in special ed at West Lynn High School for 5 years, and when I was there, I was the advisor for the Ultimate Frisbee team, and so had a lot of good conversations with Ken about where the team could practice, because finding practice
yes.
space is very challenging for sports teams, especially club teams. So
no question.
I also have spent several years on the West Lynn Fair Planning Committee, which is lots of fun, and just love West Lynn and parks, and I'm really excited to have the honor of serving on this board.
Great.
Welcome.
Well, welcome. We're
Thank
so
you.
Pleased to have you. So we'll begin with approval of today's agenda item. Anyone like to make a motion or question? Okay.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, and Ken sent, that's approved. Ken sent out a copy of the summary notes, so hopefully you all pored over those very intently and are ready to approve those as well.
October, November.
October and November, yes.
I had one revision on
okay,
November.
Okay, thank you.
5A, actually it's a statement I made about Steve G asked about the Metro law. It was the Metro bond.
Oh, yes. Okay.
How much we, instead of B, get for the locals here.
Okay. Thanks for catching that.
1.7.
Any?
Was, I think it's 1.7.
That's good.
Is there anything else on the summary notes? I'll entertain a motion to approve them.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Thank you. Is there
with
a second?
The
I'll second.
With the change. Okay. All those in favor?
Yep.
Aye.
Opposed? They are approved. So we will begin with community comments. I see we have a lot of guests. I'm just thrilled to see so many guests. I will remind all the guests that on the back is sort of the protocol for guests and timing and so forth. So who would like to begin? Which guest would like to begin? And please, Ed. Yes.
So my comments, I have some other comments later on in the meeting, but for now I just wanted to comment regarding the protocol that's listed here on the agenda. Mm-hmm. Two comments about it. One is, I see you're limiting people to 3 minutes for a public comment. I just wanted to mention that, you know, the City Council, Planning Commission, most do 5 minutes, so I would like the board to consider maybe widening that time frame from 3 to 5 minutes. And then secondly, I was a little concerned to see that during discussion of agenda items, the community comments related to those items happened at the very end of the meeting. And I'm thinking, if you're going to be discussing an item and you need to make a decision on it, you're planning to make a decision on something, and then you don't have community comments until the end of the meeting, you're kind of missing out on what the public might want to provide as far as input goes. So I would suggest, you know, allowing people to have community comments as each item come up, if it's related to that particular item. Again, just echoing what the City Council and the Planning Commission do. Okay. Those were my comments.
Thank you. Okay. Okay.
I'll go.
Okay, Tom.
Ken, if you could bring up the timeline. I just wanted to give everybody an introduction to pickleball and the history of pickleball at Tanner Creek Park. It's one of the Go Bond projects that were approved along with the fitness court at Tanner Creek Park. Is a covered pickleball structure. So just a brief note as to the timeline involved in the development of pickleball. We began as a club in July of 2017, working with Canon, power washing, striping, and creating 4 pickleball courts on 2 tennis courts. A couple months later, in September, we power wash painted and striped Mark Willamette Park, and Ken was helpful in that regard. He even got out there and helped us paint. In September of 2018, we learned that Tanner Creek Park was eligible for SDC funding, which did come into play with the premier fitness court. $50,000 was dedicated to that beyond the original $80,000 that was budgeted. So we began attempting to solicit bids. The first bid came in September of 2018, and it was about $85,000 to cover one of the tennis courts and provide covered pickleball throughout the year. In April of 2019, we got 2 more bids, one for a metal structure and another for a nursery type structure, and you'll see some pictures later on once Tom Whitten has an opportunity to talk. In July of 2019, Ken filed a one-page application with the planning department, a pre-application, really.
1 minute.
And in August of 2019, Parker Crest staged a pickleball demo with one of the council members, Richard Sackler. We had a great turnout there. In October of 19, we had a planned inauguration of the Premier Fitness Court, which was a little overdue and a little over budget. In October of 2019, Ken wrote a $25,000 planning contract with McKenzie to finish up the planning department submissions. In October of 19 also, we moved a tent from the McLean House to Tanner, and we learned a lot in that process in terms of what tent can and cannot do for pickleball. And finally, ongoing from 2017 to 2019, I've written about 5 different grants trying to get money to further the enhancement of the pickleball project.
Time.
How much more time do you think you'll need, Tom?
I'm done.
Oh, wow, look at you. Damn. Okay.
Right. Now, for my 3 minutes, we'll
sure.
get you up to date. There's a lot of different ways to cover a big area. One way is big steel structures that you've seen. And then over the years, the inflatable bubble concept came along where you build a half moon over some or other, pump a bunch of air in there, which you can warm up a little bit. Kind of noisy, but you know, that was the state of the art, and it covered a lot of swimming pools and things like that. More frequently, and we'll stop right here, this is the current state of the art, and it is taking over construction, storage, maintenance, aircraft, and it's, you see the little zigzag webbing there, much like the wooden trusses you see delivered up to the new houses. These come in kind of like Tinker Toy kits that come from China, all in an ocean container. That entire structure that you're looking at there is 6 tennis courts at George Fox University, and the breakthrough is that they go up very quickly. This structure went up in 11 days after the footings were poured, and you can see right through them. They're kind of translucent, they're not clear, but they let a lot of light in, and they span great distances. That distance that you see there is 135 feet of span, so every 15 feet there's another increment of the ribbing. Walt Disney perfected this at all of his resorts a long time ago. Good way to cover people, get them out of the sun, shed the elements, and they flex. So if you get in a windstorm, hurricanes, boy, they got about 250 of these things down in Florida, and at our place in Naples, Florida, withstood a hurricane, blew half the town over, didn't touch this. So anyway, this is the quick, easy, fast way to do this. A little ventilation if you want to go up, Tom.
This way or?
Yeah, there we go. And roll-up doors let the air in and out. So the problem with a bubble is they get hot, so you got to take them down or vacate them. And this way, you open up the sides, kind of like the teepees and High Plains Indians, and let circulation come through. The cost is right around $100,000 to $110,000 per tennis court covered. So you go down to Tillamook County, they're tearing down wooden barns and replacing them with these big freestanding facilities, aircraft hangars all over the war zones, entryway. Anytime you got to cover something quick, easy, cheap, and still have permanent, the tensile structure is the new answer. It used to be kind of a here and there where you had to know somebody. And it's now intensely competitive, and when that happens, the prices come down.
How much more time do you think you'll need?
Well, that kind of gets the point. Okay. Everybody sees it. It's a new way of covering places, especially tennis courts, so you can use them all day long in the sun, the moon. Lighting goes up in the framework, cheap. Proven itself. I mean, George Fox got up there. They're state of the art, but Lake Ridge Middle School down at the bottom of the hill from here, they needed a gym, they needed one quick, so they put up a structure there, real happy with it, and when it's all done, you can unbolt these structures, take them somewhere else.
Okay. Can we just page through those pictures to the end?
So?
You can make frames out of wood. This is the one at Lake Ridge. That's the one down in Naples. And this is kind of the state-of-the-art in Opelika, Alabama, where they have 12 pickleball courts there.
Okay. Yeah.
So this is kind of good timing.
Yes.
Actually, so at a goal-setting session with City Council last month? Early this month.
Yeah.
You know, they were setting goals, and one of the things was that the council majority kind of brought up the idea of indoor recreation. Now, this, as Tom and Tom have pointed out, and I agree wholeheartedly, you know, this is something for our community that we've needed for a long time, is indoor recreation year-round. And I think we have an opportunity to have that bigger conversation. So, as some of you may know, this is what we put up at Tanner Creek. This came from a clean house. You can see open sides, it's a tent. Well, what we found was water comes in the sides. It comes, drips through. In Oregon, it's very cold in the winter. You know, it's 48 degrees today. I don't know who would want to play pickleball. So just in summary, so this was the project when we first met with Tom and Tom. It was a tensile structure that would look very similar to these, except it would have a tensile here on the gable, right? So, but it's still got open sides. That's how we got to a budget of $85,000. I think we have an opportunity. These are just pictures Tom sent me with open sides, all different kinds. This is Alabama. They do have a 12-court facility down there. But you can see even theirs has open sides. And I just kind of, and then these are what Tom has sent over the years, just, and they are fabulous looking. But I'm hopeful that maybe in the very near future, our Parks Board can have a conversation about indoor recreation. What do we need? How do we get there? And the unfortunate position we're in right now is that we've budgeted through the GO bond $85,000. As Tom just said, unfortunately, a structure that has walls, lights, and I don't know if those all have heat, but we're looking at about $115,000 per tennis court. So I don't know how we get there right now, but I would love to have that conversation of what that means going forward.
There's a deadline, April the 16th, and you are overdue for a grant from the Oregon Parks and Recs Association that's funded by the Oregon Lottery. It's by mandate they're required to disperse something like 15% to 20% of all lottery. And so the deadline for submittal of applications that goes into that, we helped arrange one 2.5 years ago down in Pacific City to build a $100,000 parking lot for a skateboard park there. Typically, whatever you ask for, you get. They have more money than they have applications for. So it would be an ideal opportunity to bridge that gap. $35,000-$40,000 is kind of a gimme, kind of a request, especially from a major city, for something innovative like this.
Ken, why couldn't we use SDC funding like you did on the fitness court?
Well, it's potentially eligible, but we have a CI, a capital improvements program that has SDC funds that are already built in. So it's something that, you know, we just don't say, let's just give it here. It goes through a process. So we have a 6-year rolling capital improvements program where SDC funds are allocated. And to be honest, our SDC fund right now doesn't have the money.
Right.
We have, you know, a couple other projects that are already in the CIP that don't have funding that are SDC funded.
You've got Tanner Bridge right across the street from Tanner Creek Park.
We do.
There's, you know, probably 55 houses.
Correct.
Probably, you know, a couple hundred cars, four hundred plus people that are directly going to impact Tanner Creek Park.
So I understand that.
That money should be used to alleviate.
It will be used in the park system. It's not used in the neighborhood it's generated. That's not how the systems of element charges are applied. They're applied system-wide.
And correct me if I'm wrong, my understanding too of the SDCs are that they have been financed, so they don't just sort of come in a big batch, they sort of filter through, right?
Well, that one development you're referring to.
They were financed.
Has financed their SDCs.
Yeah,
so
which is a whole
different.
It's not coming
in as one big pile of money. As the houses are sold, you get your systems of element charges.
I think we said it was $50,000 a year, but it wasn't. 10 years.
I don't know that the answer to that because I think it's as they're sold, not necessarily on a yearly basis. But that's something our finance director would know. I haven't.
But the bigger conversation, as Ken's alluded to, is now starting to think about an indoor rec center and what does that look like, and pickleball being one piece of that, perhaps. I mean, you need cover in the winter if you're going to play. I do have one question about winter play. Have you all negotiated at all with any of the big churches for basement space on that? I've actually played pickleball. I'm not good, but I've played indoors at churches in church basements.
Rolling Hills has 3 pickleball courts in their basement.
Good.
On the ground floor, just recently we had a college fail. But private church-type schools are failing right, left, and center, it's just too hard to compete with a computer online. But their community halls and the gyms are a great source of play.
Right.
We have 19 church facilities right now where we're playing pickleball.
Right.
And they like it because during the day there's nobody
there. There's no
there.
One there. Right. And Rolling Hills isn't going to fail.
Yeah.
That's not going to fail.
Calvin Church and other Presbyterian churches have been good.
But I meant in West Lynn. So,
well, there is not a church in West Lynn that has a big enough gym for us to play.
Okay.
The LDS up here has one gym. Mm-hmm. We have five LDS churches where we are playing, but it's because they have a bigger gym that will hold three pickleball courts.
So,
how many courts was the original project supposed to cover for the $85,000?
One tennis court means four pickleball courts.
Right. Yeah, four. Well, I thank you. We'll be definitely talking about this as we move forward and have that bigger conversation around the rec center as well.
Is that an agenda item, the rec center?
It will be, I imagine. Yeah. Yeah. Because that's a much bigger conversation now that the city council has opened that door. And it is in our master plan as well.
Yeah.
So, thank you very much, gentlemen. Maddox Woods or Bolton or...
I just would say thank you. I mentioned to Ken the safety at the end of Hood Street. He said, well, we could put a barricade up there.
Oh.
This was just a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And today there's a wonderful,
rail.
Very effective sign that will keep people from going down into the ditch there.
So you're happy about that?
Oh,
good.
Yes.
Yay.
Because there was a safety issue there. There have been a couple of near misses.
Well, thanks so much for bringing that up.
We'll have to thank our streets department.
Whatever. It's very effective, and it's perfect because it can be seen so well at night.
I went over there, and it was like during the day, you could drive down the trail almost.
You saw what I was saying.
Good job.
Thanks so much, Anna, for bringing that up, that safety issue. We need citizens to do that.
Well, thank you.
Bravo. Did you have some comments you'd like to make?
Oh, no.
Okay.
I just came to observe.
Great.
I've never been to one.
Well, welcome.
I wanted to see what they were like.
Well, good. We're
so
glad you did.
The advisory board.
Well, I'm so glad you did. Thank you. And would you like to make?
Just briefly, yes.
Yes, please.
A couple of years ago, we were visiting our daughter in Stockholm, Sweden, and noticed that their parks had musical instruments for kids to play on. About a little over a year ago, I stopped to visit with Ken Forster before he retired and said I would like to volunteer to build and donate some musical instruments for our parks. And so we agreed to do that. We began that process, and I'm learning my way through. I usually am a woodworker, but now I'm doing some metal work and refreshing my welding skills from high school days. But recently there was a little thing in the Willamette neighborhood about the Pamerly Park and the slides being removed and the instruments being blamed for the slides.
Right.
And I assumed that there were going to be some people here complaining, but so that's why I showed up.
No, the complaining happens on social media. That's
so,
a social media thing.
I'm continuing to build them.
I saw that.
And I'm getting better at it. I'm learning my way through it. I found some great ways to tune the materials and design them. These are, to give you an idea, the little pagoda bells that were removed because this ground got soft and the concrete wasn't big enough to hold them straight. They'll be put back in. Those cost me maybe $300 to make. If you buy those, it's $3,000.
Really?
I built, I call them xylophones, but they're actually glockenspiels because they're made out of metal. They're running $2,500 to $3,000, and I'm probably spending a couple hundred dollars on them. So they're rudimentary in terms of looking at a commercial design, but these new ones that I built actually sound pretty nice, and I'm happy about this project. And I just don't want it to get short-circuited. And I've had people now that live in different neighborhood communities calling me and asking me to do their park. So I'd be happy to answer your questions about that. I really like the idea of going forward with having kids have musical instruments as well as playground instrument. But the kerfuffle in the, on the website was right. about the tall slides being gone and the music being blamed for that, and I think that got cleared up. But, so I'd ask, it, have to answer any questions.
I think it did get cleared up. The slides were removed in order to place those. I went down and saw it. It's really charming. Thank you so much for doing that.
There's still one that's taken out. I've got about five of them sitting out in my backyard.
Just charming idea. Thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah, I appreciate it too, Roger, and I know that Ken talked to you about maybe Willamette and some different parks. And we can officially go on record for anybody who wants to clear things up on social media. The slides were taken out because they were very unsafe.
They were dangerous.
Unfortunately, they were the old metal slides that kids love. And they're the same slides I had as when I was a kid. They were great, but they don't meet any of our industry standards anymore.
I try to make that comment to people. Look, you know, I'm familiar with playground safety because they get inspected and you get told that, you know,
I think you were a victim of shrapnel. They got mad at us when we took them out 8 months ago, I think. So I apologize for that.
No. I just wouldn't want us to lose the idea of having some music in the parks for kids.
And I can tell you that I know when we have done playground workshops, kids love music. They like things that make musical noise. They like to do that kind of stuff. So I think it's great and just another opportunity. And if you ever look at a playground catalog, he's not kidding about what things cost on our commercial level for playgrounds. It's kind of shocking.
So what comes to my mind about this is maybe we should ask Holly Bartholomew to do a little, or somebody should do a brief write-up for the Tidings and for social media explaining what you're doing. And
did I not see one?
I didn't see one. I didn't see today's paper yet. But
it wasn't in today's paper.
Yeah, it should be. Somehow we should let the community know through social media and the Tidings about this project, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
Okay, you don't have any need for anonymity.
I was trying to.
Okay. Well, you could wear a mask.
We could do just local Westland.
Social media didn't help anybody. Yeah. So.
But I think that would be really nice to let them know. So, any other questions for Mr. Wall?
What park is that?
Pardon me?
What park?
The first ones have been installed at Hammerley, and I'd like to see some at Willamette Park, and we talked about some at Fields Park, and then one of the neighborhoods who had a little Douglas Park on Selmo asked me to do something up there. So, and I've told them that, you know, all of this has to be approved by the city.
Yeah, the only thing
I can't just go place things.
Yeah, the only thing we have to keep in mind is that every playground has fall zones around it.
Right.
You know, so there's certain, we have to have, you know, if you have a swing, you have to take the measurement of the top of the swing down to the ground, multiply times two, so you're about 20 feet on each end. And that's what people don't understand about playgrounds is fall zones. So we just need to make sure that we can put them somewhere
that
they don't infringe on.
You
know, I mean, it's just kind of, and you look at it and go, how could a kid fall that far? But
those are just haven't met my grandsons.
Yeah.
How far can I jump off this swing?
That's kind of it with swings,
How far can I go out on the argument
flyer? Well, thank you. Once again, we have another great example of how the volunteers and the citizens of Westland make this such a wonderful city to live in, I think. Thank you so much. Items of interest from the board. Any board members been thinking about something, need to get off your chest? We're still waiting for one more person to be approved. We have one empty seat. We had a huge amount of interest in the board positions this year, just huge, which is very exciting. I'm so glad people are interested. So we're still waiting for City Council to appoint one more person. And Jules, when will that happen? Do you know?
It was early March.
Yeah, I think that's when we decided. Okay. We were going to meet and do some interviews. There were 30 applicants this year.
Wow. And I think that's the highest that's ever been, I was told.
It was. And they were all really great.
So
great
incredible.
Applicants. So I think we're going to go back and have some conversations with people and gauge their level of interest and then make a decision.
I love that. That's wonderful.
So we can throw this in. I know at our one of our last meetings, one of our board members talked about an ADA transition plan.
Yes.
We've always had some money for Americans with Disability Act money every year. It's a small amount, about $10,000. But recently, we had three staff members go to a ADA transition plan workshop with the state. We are Public Works Department. Engineering for the streets and all their types of ADA transitions is working on their plan. While we're identifying things, we're going to start to work with our Public Works to kind of turn that into, you know, more of a citywide plan than just a Public Works plan. So
excellent.
Not that it'll be done overnight, it'll be a process, right. But it is being worked on.
Excellent. That's good news.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Is there a plan for the Beaver Ambassadors program going forward since the person transitioned out of that position?
There's not a plan, unfortunately. Esteban is a lot of you knew here, Stephen Rochelle. His term with the city came to a conclusion the end of January, working on his master's in that process. So he did a lot of great things, helped us a ton. We're going to continue to try and work on outdoor programs. You know, we have talked to Esteban about, you know, the possibility of doing some of his programming in the future, if we can figure out, you know, funding and things. But it was great, but no, unfortunately, we have to monitor the beaver on our own.
The other things like the full moon.
Yeah, right. Those are things we'd like to do. It's just a matter of, and I think, you know, Esteban's kind of in a transition period in his life, so. We may be able to do some of those. Unfortunately, we don't have a staff member, particularly in that area right now. But we certainly want to continue those types of things if we can.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, anything else from the board? Okay, Bee City USA.
Okay, you are liaisons to our Bee City USA program.
Yes.
So just an update, we were granted BCDOSA in 2019. The website's updated by Terry Jones. We have an annual report. We don't have to do anything until February of 2021, so that's good. So we have time to work on it. So right now we're in the process of getting a sign, which will look something like this. It's kind of small now, but
cool.
I think it's like 24 by 36.
Where does second place?
Well, that's the question. I have to find out where. I'm not sure. So we'll work on that. Once we get the sign, it has to be in a certain area.
Mm-hmm.
If we can put it by a city, welcome to City Westland sign, something like that. Go through that process. Other than that, we're working on Pollinator Week, which is June 22nd through the 28th. So we'll do a lot of programming down at our Pollinator Garden at Marius Young Park. That will keep us as part of our required, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is kind of an update. So we'll work on that. And we do have the volunteers at the Pollinator Garden still on board, Lori Griffith and
Michael
Rutten. Sorry. I call him B. Michael. So it's been great. We've been working down there. They've been volunteering a lot and help from Marius Young and all the SOL programming down there.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, so just a reminder, so for Mary, maybe, you know, so as you remember, when you're a Bee City USA, you have to have an official committee, which we named our Parks and Rec Advisory Board instead of trying to, you know, create another committee that would, and then we have those sub-volunteers under you guys that are out there doing great work at our Pollinator Garden, so.
Mm-hmm. And we should be sure that when Pollinator Week comes along, that Lori Griffith and Bee Michael get recognized for all that work, too. I think that would be important.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anything else on Bee City? Bee City USA? Okay. Cruising along, team. I like it.
Perfect.
White Oak Savannah Nature Play Outreach. So as you recall, from the last meeting, we got direction from City Council, from City Manager, from... and since then, there's been a change in leadership, so Ken's going to give us a little update where we're heading now.
Right. So, So as far as where we are, the direction that we still have is that the Parks and Rec Advisory Board will create the process to take a look at the nature play area at the White Oak Savannah. The direction we've been given is similar to what we've talked about in December. So there are a couple pieces. We have the current plan for the nature play area. We are being directed to have a scaled down version of the plan, whatever that means. And then the third piece is to look at the restrooms, which have been a conversation, whether we have a porta potty, whether we have a single stall, small restroom, or whether we have a standard gender-based two-stall restroom like we do at some of our smaller parks. So previously when we had direction, I had spoke to Michelle with Learning Landscapes to kind of work with the consultant to say, come up with a scope of work for what we were working on in November. Our direction changed a little bit. So I have talked to Michelle. She is planning on coming in March. And, you know, I've presented to her what we're looking for is kind of within the nature-based play curriculum and guidelines, the value to kids and community, you know, what pieces can we kind of take a look at to pull out of that design and still keep the value and not spend more money reinventing the wheel. As you know, some of those pieces are going to fit together, and if you take this out, then you have to take that, you know, because it's in kind of pods, if you recall. So she's scheduled to come, and that's where we can have that conversation of what it looks like going forward. We have been directed to, you know, get community input that you can talk about. We have been directed to go to the Savannah Oaks Neighborhood Association and present and get input. Council mentioned possibly, you know, going to another neighborhood association. I think they mentioned Barrington Heights.
Willamette, I think.
One of those. I mean, and I don't know that Barrington meets or Willamette Neighborhood Association based on proximity. So that can be a bigger conversation in March. Certainly, if you have anything right now, we can certainly discuss.
Yeah, we talked about community outreach in four levels: the neighborhood associations, the larger community, tidings, and social media as all ways to sort of discuss this and figure it out. So Michelle will be coming in March here.
Yeah.
Okay.
To our March meeting.
Okay. So our goal for doing community outreach is April then? Or?
I don't have a goal right now.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's a conversation that you could have.
In March with Michelle.
Well, I mean, I think it depends what type of outreach you decide to do and what does the timeline look like.
Okay. Okay.
If you have ideas, you know, Michelle could work on that scope of work a little bit prior to March, maybe a timeline if you want to discuss it now, or we can wait till March and see what she has and discuss it then.
So if the board has ideas about community outreach now, you'll give those to Michelle and she can come back to us. Or
she could, yeah. I think, mm-hmm. I think part of it is what do you want the process to look like?
Mm-hmm.
Last time we did a big playground workshop.
Right.
And that's kind of what she initially proposed this time. But, that was, 150 kids. It was sticks. It was water. It was, all those things that we put together. Now, I just kind of said, this kind of looks good. But let's wait and see what our Parks Board has in mind.
So was the original plan ever approved? Or was a concept with all the input never... Did it ever get approved at some point? But
yeah, it was approved by the Planning Commission in September of 2018.
Okay.
So, Board, what are your thoughts about this?
Well, can we get a list of when the... So we have to go to at least White Oaks and a couple others, right?
Yeah, I mean... You're clearly going to go to Savannah Oaks Neighborhood Association to have a meeting and a conversation, absolutely.
Can we find out when the dates line up for
And if we are doing Barrington, and we'll just mm-hmm. just so we can yep. see when the dates are, I think would sure. be good for us yeah. to visualize.
Sure.
Yeah.
She's.
I don't think Barrington has meetings.
Willamette back. Is the night before our meeting.
Willamette is the second Wednesday of every month at 7. And Sona is.
First Tuesday of every other month. So we'll meet in March, May, et cetera.
So March. Okay.
Okay.
I think we need to kind of see how it looks.
Sure.
So we can kind of plan.
Okay.
Is she gonna make some revisions and come back and present them in March?
No.
No.
No, I think she's
gonna come with the approved plan, and we're gonna talk about possible revisions, right?
I think my thought was that unless you want to have her make alterations that she feels appropriate and still keep the nature play curriculum and concepts in place and bring it to you in March, that's one thing. If you want to meet with her in March and have her walk you through the different pieces that are there, and then you talk about what can come out without affecting the whole plan, that's another option.
But the board is basically saying to come up with a revised plan, correct?
Scaled back.
Right. That's the board directive.
Mm-hmm. The board directive was, here's what we have, here's an alternative that's smaller, and then here's some restrooms, talk about those, is what the direction was.
And the idea was to take those three components then to the community.
But there's no direction beyond that. I mean, the restrooms part is pretty clear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it would be nice to have maybe some options to options to entertain.
Oh, I think so too.
I mean, because I think taking something where we had the original visualization that was approved, and now it's gotten a wrench thrown in it, and I think that it'd be nice to say to have like, this is what this looks like without these these components, and it still comes together, with some congruity. And then if we take out these things, this is what it looks like, And so you're sort of like kind of moving the Lego pieces around to see kind of what transformer you're building, with different things. So you can kind of conceptualize it as a whole rather than trying to think about it a little more abstractly, where you're like, well, if we take this slide out, then it looks like sort of like this, but then we need to put this in to make it work. So maybe if we had,
So she should come back in March with a couple options.
Because I'm a visual person,
present to us, here's what was approved, we could do something like this, something like this, or something like this, and then we can have a discussion about it.
Yeah, and then that would be something that would be easier to then extrapolate into the community of, okay, this is what this is where we are, either... there's some sort of vote or approval or something like that, where then it's done. Once it's once the community speaks, then we don't have to go through this again, because this whole thing just seems a little empty to begin with.
Well, and I think that's fine if that's what you'd like, because the other thing I think I heard council say is they don't want to start over,
right,
because the money's been spent. I mean, the design, but change it without reinventing the wheel, kind of, and whatever comes out, I guess, cleanly, kind of, and doesn't make the whole thing fall over or something, I don't know.
Yeah, so she comes back with some concepts, we discuss them, whether we pick one or kind of maybe, or two or something, then we kind of like these revised versions.
Okay.
And then that's, if we're kind of on board with that, then that's what we should take out to the public, however we do that.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
John, Mary, do you concur with, do you agree with that, concur, or a different opinion?
No, I'm fine with it. I mean, as I've stated before,
yes,
I don't want to do the work that's already been done.
Right.
We already have some great community stuff where kids told us what they'd like to do, and then we had a consultant set up a really nice plan. So I really like the original version, personally.
Okay.
I'd be happy to hear about alternative versions, mm-hmm. but... I can tell you where I sit right now, is I like the original version and the work we did on it.
Okay.
Do you have any comments you'd like to make?
No, I think that sounds like a good plan to have something to work with just to, okay. to see. And I'm kind of catching up too because
right.
I haven't seen it.
Right.
Okay. Well, we'll have her come
Does
back.
Does that, sure. how do you feel about that? Okay. All right. Okay, so we have a plan in March. My understanding is in March, Michelle will come to us with some options for a scaled back nature play for Savannah Oaks. Okay. And at that time, we will also discuss community outreach in March, too. Will she make recommendations for that, or will we be
she
doing that?
It should be us.
Yeah. I mean, she'll have idea, you know. Okay. I mean, I think her ideas are a workshop, you know, I mean, just kind of, okay. but I think that's well, certainly things that you guys decide.
We'll try to allot enough time on that meeting so that we can, we'll need a little extra time probably for that. Okay. Any other comments about White Oak Savannah nature play area? Okay. Department staffing update.
Okay, so where we are, trying to remember what you guys know.
Do you have an assistant?
Assume that we know nothing. We know nothing. Just assume that.
Yeah, so we had more turnover in 6 months than we had in 18 years. But,
crazy.
So what's happened is, for all of you, Don Cole, who was at our Duke Community Center, sharing with a job with Tiffany over there for about a year, applied and got promoted to a full-time rec coordinator over here at City Hall. She'll be predominantly working in special events and adult programming. Tara was promoted to rec supervisor. And Tara works in all areas, but the main things that kind of fell on her plate were she does a lot of our financial work for our accounting department upstairs. She took over the Adopt a Park program. She took over all our special events permits. She took over all of our young children's programming and oversees all of our summer camps, our summer camp staff that put on our summer camps. We hired Megan to be a job share new employee at our Adult Community Center. So she's on board and learning over there 20 hours a week. And we made our last hire about 3 weeks ago. We hired Alyssa Meese, who is a local Westland girl via Arizona State University, Parks and Recreation degree, who is coming back. She actually starts on Tuesday as a rep coordinator. She'll be working on special events, sports, fitness programs, and all the areas that we need help. She'll be here Tuesday. She works a week, and then she's getting married, so then we'll see her back in March. So at that point, we'll be fully staffed as a department with about three people kind of in training mode, so we'll get them up to speed, and
cool.
everybody's having fun and doing a great job.
A lot of learning curves.
There are some learning curves in there, yeah, but that's okay.
Yeah.
And one thing that we're looking at changing our registration and facility reservation software, which is a major undertaking. It's just complicated when you have to switch something like that. Mm-hmm. We've had active.com that we use for about 16 years and have never instituted the facility reservations, and we had our IT department and we hired Terry Jones back and we were trying to go that direction, and we're kind of finding that it's not an easy transition with that program. So we're gonna meet and look at an alternative program to see if we can't improve some end user processes for the city and our patrons, so.
Good. Okay. Project updates.
So I kind of tried to print something up for you to take home, but
that would be great.
We get asked so often. So non-GO bond projects that we have out there, Maddox Woods has two projects that are being worked on to get through land use. They have their boat barn project. And we're working on a consulting firm with their entrance road and parking. Willamette Park with a grant, non-GOBON project. We are working on boarding floats at Bernard Landing down at Willamette Park.
On what?
Boarding floats. So boarding floats are the ones that you actually use when you use the boat ramp.
I gotcha.
So Bernard has transient docks, and then so it's all new boarding floats. We're doing our first little ADA project. We'll be doing some pathways at a little park, Palomino.
Oh, yeah.
That has a very small, we're going to redo the basketball court, but some pathways. Has like some 2 feet wide asphalt pathways that were put in many, many years ago.
Nice.
I take one of them.
Huh?
Are you passing him around?
He's holding on to the
coffee. I'm scared.
I don't know what to
do. I can make more copies if everybody wants to go home with one.
Yes, we will.
So
everyone wants one.
As far as GOBON projects on our athletic fields, Fields Bridge, new artificial turf, we're receiving quotes. We have two. We need one more. Marius Young Drainage, we're about 90% done. Two levels are done. Third level will be worked on when the sun comes out. We're working at Willamette Park still. We just finished up foul nets and dugout improvements. We have about three parks that will be putting in new adjustable hoops, Bensky Park being one of those. Hammerly Park, we've replaced wood decking on our small kids' play structure. We've removed borders from the large play structure. We'll be getting quotes on like concrete curbing to go around that play structure to keep the engineered chips in. We've already done trees there. Marius Young.
Oh, wait. You're on in Hammerly, you're removing and replacing the shelter?
Well, we have a budget for it, but...
We do?
We do.
You do.
But it's a conversation. Well, I don't know if we have to replace the whole thing. And you have to remember that these were put in 40 years ago, and... You know, the CIP can change.
Right,
as things evolve. So
right.
We're 4 years out now. The McLean House has a projected shelter down there that is going to be going through the land use process. Palomino Park, we'll be working on a basketball hoop. As soon as we get the hoop installed there, hopefully in about 2 weeks, we'll do that basketball pad and pathway. We've got all our quotes ready. Sahali Ilahi will be constructed as soon as our staff gets done with sunset, which is going to start in about a week. Chain link fence will be going up probably in the next 6 days to keep people out. Skyline Ridge, I'm meeting... Ridge, I'm meeting at their neighborhood association, I think in 2 months. We're talking about the location and the cost of a restroom for them. We'll be redoing their tennis courts. They would like one tennis court and two pickleball courts. So that's what we're going to move in that direction. Sunburst Park, we've ordered an adjustable backboard. Sunset Park, we'll start in a week. Fitness courts done. Pickleball covers is having a land use application being completed now. Tennis courts, we've received all our quotes. We are proposing there to have one tennis court and put in 4 pickleball courts, dedicated pickleball courts, if we have funding. Down at Willamette Park, one of our last really big projects is all along the Tualatin River. If you turn right on Volp Street, where our grass creek ends, and you kind of get to that old boat ramp and the messy part. Going to work on a scope of work with consulting firm to take that all through land use. That'll be... You know, that is in the water resource area. Uh-huh. We'll be dealing with a lot of different issues there, but taking the old boat launch and creating a kayak launch and working on that grasscrete and adding parking where it's kind of muddy all the way up there. So that's where our projects are on the park side. As you know, we also have facilities projects for informational purposes on Monday night. City Council allocated $717,000 to Robinwood Station for improvements there.
Wow.
They allocated $1.265 million to the historic City Hall in a partnership with that coalition to renovate that building. There's still conversations about Bolton Fire Hall and We're purchasing a generator for City Hall, and we're purchasing a new generator for the library, which doesn't necessarily fall under Parks Board, but just kind of information.
Does the police station get a new generator too?
Police station is getting a larger generator.
Okay.
That was an issue with when it was, I don't know all the history to be honest,
yeah,
but
I
it wasn't
either.
Big enough, basically.
Huh.
So okay. It is getting a new generator.
Okay.
Any questions on projects?
Can I see something that they're going to be taking some trees off, like in front of Marius Young?
We are on Highway 43. Yeah. There's about 13 trees. Someone told us that, you know, a couple of them didn't look very healthy, and as we went in there, there's about 13.
Yeah, there's...
The difficult...
They're hanging over 43.
Well, they're on the front of it, yeah. The difficult thing we have is, just so you're aware, we have about a $25,000 budget for open space management. We've spent that in the first 6 months, most of it's tree removals. Unfortunately, trees have a life expectancy, and we have some old trees, and I think it's something we're going to have to address in the future because, you know, an average tree removal is between $1,500 and $4,000, depending on the size.
Those are big trees in there.
Yeah, and that involves, that's a little expensive there because it involves Highway 43, state permits, traffic control. So that's really a more complex one than just being inside of a park. Yeah.
Really good windstorms, but you're all in one day.
Yeah.
As long as you're not driving on 43.
Yeah, hopefully,
right?
Yeah. Hopefully not.
Yeah.
But that should be maybe in the next couple weeks.
Okay.
Any questions about the project updates?
I have a question.
Please.
Marius Young, when you were talking about, you know, tagging several trees along the front part.
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking at, did you say you're removing those, and are they going to be topped to leave big, you know?
No.
So you just take them all the way down to the ground?
More than likely. I mean, the problem is when they, you know, the habitat trees are great, but it's just a matter of where you leave them. They're really great out in the wilderness,
mm-hmm.
you know, but, you know, as they start to cut into them, depending on their health, you know, it's still a liability because we are right on a, you know, the bike path right out front. And then, because these are like right there.
Yeah.
They're not like if they were in the middle,
mm-hmm.
you know, where we don't have a walking path right by them, we could whack them off at 20 or 30 feet and leave mm-hmm. them. That's a great habitat for a lot of critters. But when they're kind of bordering homes or bike paths and walkways that are very popular in highways, we'll take them out, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
They may be able to fall them, you know, into the park, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just depends what they can do. Yeah, because
mm-hmm.
that's good for the habitat. It saves us money if we don't have to pay someone to cut them all up and haul them out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Would they take them in to chip them?
Well, they'll chip all the branches, I'm sure. I mean, with 13 trees, we don't want to leave, I mean, we don't want to leave that pile there. Mike's taking care of that, one of our arborists, and I can find out and let
I'm
you know.
I'm curious.
Yeah, they'll ship us a certain amount for sure, and they'll probably end up in the parking lot for John.
For John.
The other thing they've done on the trees that they took out where the beavers are,
yeah.
is they drag them into the parking lot, and
yeah.
people are welcome to come
cut them up.
Cut up
yeah.
firewood. And so that's another place that you can put them. And so instead of them having to cut them all up,
right.
they can cut them into large segments, which most of us couldn't move, but you could move them to that parking
sure.
lot. And there are plenty of people that if they know there's firewood there will
right.
come
right.
and
mm-hmm.
get the firewood. So that's another place that
yeah.
that you can use them. We have lots of chips and we can all use them all over the city. So
yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah. The new chips over by the bridge. Thank you very much for
that. Was pretty nice, wasn't it?
It's pretty mucky in there.
Well, we gravel it in and we chipped it.
Yeah.
So we raised it all.
Yeah, because
that'll coalesce over the mud and that'll stay there.
Yeah, because the
until the chips decay and then there'll be muddy again.
Couple of spots
and do it again.
Pretty
yep.
soupy because I'm walking before I go to work, walk the dogs before I go to work.
But we always tell people that complain a little bit is the whole trail used to do it. Now if there's a little muddier someplace,
yeah,
ladies,
I'm not like I'm
ladies
not.
Stopped down the other day and said, "There's a little 2 foot mud area over there." You know, it rains every day in January.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Well, okay, we're gonna have to.
No, there were some spots that were getting really soupy. So.
Yeah, well, we just redid the you know the what used to be an asphalt trail, but it's now from the drinking fountain to
yeah.
the we've done that's finished now.
Oh yeah,
good.
Excellent. I'm so used to walking in there in the dark now that when I walk in there during the day, it's like, oh, wow, look at
Okay. Any other project updates? Move on to number 10, community comment wrap-up. Any comments? Please, Ed.
Okay. So as far as the White Oak Savannah Nature Play area, I just wanted to say that I know Savannah Oaks looks forward to you guys coming to our meeting and having a nice discussion about what we see as the vision for the play area. I did bring a couple things I'll hand out just to pass around as far as some of the history that we've had, just kind of a timeline over the years when we've been working on this play area. And I also wanted to suggest, I'm also the chair of the Neighborhood Association Presidents Group, which is all of the presidents from the 11 neighborhood associations. And we'd be happy to have you come to that group as well and discuss the natural play area, because it's a citywide park, right? It's not just Savannah Oaks or Willamette or Barrington Heights. Belongs to the city. And so certainly I think it would be great if you could find time to come to the NAP group as well and discuss it, and then perhaps that would engender some of the presidents to go back and talk to their members and pass along comments and things like that. Also, even invite you to attend some other neighborhood association meetings also. So I think above all from Savannah Oaks, and I'm sure I won't belabor it because you'll hear it as you're at our meeting, but we view the White Oak Savannah as a natural park, and it's a pretty significant wildlife habitat. You know, believe it or not, right here in the middle of the city, we do have a lot of wildlife that uses that park and calls that park home. And so our concerns when the play area got to be the size that it was, where some of these structures we didn't feel were compatible with a natural park. So I know initially the conversation was it would be wood, it would be all natural, there would be no metal in the park, and then it just kept seeming like it kept getting bigger and bigger, and then there was the addition of some musical instruments or noise making and things like that, which again for the animals that live in the park, can be quite disruptive, and so that became a concern as well. So what I put together was just a few pictures, and I can pass these out, but just, I've only got a couple copies, but you guys are welcome to look at these and pass them around. Things that we considered, Savannah Oaks looked at and decided we thought were appropriate or not appropriate for a natural park.
And see, I can make copies if people want them. Before you guys leave, we can make copies.
And then I also have kind of this timeline that I spoke of that I know you won't have time to review it tonight, but maybe, again, to just inform your conversation and your consideration of the redesign, this would kind of, again, give you a little more information on the background of where the central play area came from.
And we can make copies of those too if someone needs one.
So, and then the ported toilets was another discussion, but again, we can discuss that at the Savannah Oaks meeting as far as that versus the permanent toilets and things like that. But, so we look forward to giving you guys our input and hopefully that with other neighborhood associations as well. So, thank you.
Thanks, Ed. If anybody needs copies before you leave, Tara said she'd get you.
There's another one.
Sorry. Noise.
Okay.
We can make copies.
Thanks, Ed. Other community comments?
Yes. I'll just say that.
Please.
I read the Heron Watch at Maddox Woods, and so I just want to let everybody know that is ongoing again this year. The herons are starting to gather down at Lonesome Bottom right now. It's a little bit cold, so I think they're going to be coming a little bit later than Valentine's Day this year. But we will be having our Heron Watches the first Sunday of every month, starting in March and going through June. So come on out. It's from 1 to 3 in the afternoon, and we'll put our telescopes out and look at the birds and their behaviors and go through their stages as they go through it during the course of the season. So we usually have about 40 to 50 parent nests every year being occupied. So it's really very exciting, really, to see. So if you have never come out, bring your kids or your grandkids, because it's a lot of fun. We have heron wings that they can put on that are 6 feet in width. And they just have a lot of fun doing that.
And you're going to send us last year's pictures, make sure we have them so we can put it on the calendar with social media and all that stuff, right?
I have pictures. Yeah.
Do you have pictures?
Okay.
Yeah. From last year.
We'll do that, yes. And we just had a drone fly over the heron nest a few days ago. So
your drone?
What?
You sent the drone over?
No, I didn't, but I ran into somebody that was down at the boat dock, Cedar Oak Boat Dock, and he decided he would come over and
That's
help
cool.
out, so he brought his drone and buzzed over the nest because they're not over there right now, so the males have not claimed any nests yet, so we felt that it was pretty safe to do that. So we have pictures of the heron nest from a bird's eye view,
nice.
Looking down. If you don't know what you're looking at, it might be a little weird. It looks like bacteria, you know, blown up 1,000 times. You know, just this little core and then these little things going out. So, but we'll get those to the city and then you can put whatever the best ones are up on the website.
So, cool.
Yeah.
So if you haven't been, I went to a couple of the heron watch things and it was really cool. I really enjoyed it. And it was really, really fun. I liked it a lot. Good job on that.
So far, I have not seen the Maddox Woods beaver yet.
You have not?
No, but I did get a picture of a beaver just below the library in that.
Oh,
really? In the ravine there?
Yes.
Huh.
Yes.
So how will you know if it's a Maddox Wood beep? I mean, we have a little sign.
Comes down the creek.
We have a little sign.
He comes up the creek.
Okay.
So I'm not sure where he crosses at Maddox Woods itself.
And why would a beaver cross the road? Sorry, couldn't help myself.
That's okay. does come up the stream all the way.
Wow.
He actually was working on some of the trees.
I think there's one over at Swift Shore Park, too, on the 12th.
Well, he was working on some of the trees below the library.
At least the neighbor said there was. I haven't
Not
seen
Not the big trees, but the smaller ones.
Oh. Wow.
Well, let us know, because those trees can become hazardous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Rapidly.
Any other...
In the area, you can wrap some of the big ones.
Yeah.
Any other community comment? Well, if not, I'm going to prepare to adjourn this meeting 50 minutes early.
Record time.
That is a record.
Okay, if there's no objections, the meeting is adjourned. My record.
Okay, now you hold the record.
I do. Thank you.